Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Chaverim, and Mishpucha, which means blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends and to our families, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, right here on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, and we're with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your pen, your Bible, and a piece of paper, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word, especially on the study of the end of days, where the book of Revelation promises us a special blessing when we do. So we're going to go to our Father in prayer first to start out. And Father, we bless you for today, for this lovely Sabbath day and this lovely weather. Lord, we are all your children, and not all of us are doing real well. Some of us are doing great, but Lord, we get a lot of prayer requests in the mail, emails, and you know who these people are and what they have requested, and we would just like to hold these people up to you this week. If they took the time and trouble to reach out to another Christian brother and sister to ask for prayer, then you see that as faith, and we're very blessed that you honor our faith. And so in faith that we pray and we trust in the name of Jesus that you answer these prayers for these people that wrote us this week. And we bless you in the name of Yeshua. We also pray, too, that all of us that know you remain united with you so that when you appear, we will have confidence and not have to shrink back from shame at your coming. Thank you for our teacher today, and bless her. Open our ears. Let us be ready to Shema, to hear and understand your word today in the name of Yeshua. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you.
Shabbat Shalom.
And I have to take for a quick second just to say hi to two very special people in my life, and I know they're listening probably for the first time today live. So I just want to say Amy, hi, and her friend Evie. Thanks for listening, and we'll continue to have you in our prayers because, like so many young people, they're looking for answers, and I do pray for them that they will find them.
Well, hi, Amy and Evie.
We will be opening the lines later this hour for your questions on the topic of eschatology, which is a fancy word for the study of the end of days.
Oh, and remember, too, if you have missed any of the previous shows, which are jam-packed with information, you can go to the website shofarministries.net, where all the shows are archived and very easily accessed. So, Sheila, what are we going to discuss this week?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the rapture, and I know what you're going to say. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks, but that's how much information is in the Bible, at least that much. And there's things that we're not even finding yet and will continue to find as the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes to these little gold nuggets. Have you found, John, that to be true, that no matter how long you've studied the Bible, every time through?
It is true. And that's what makes Bible study exciting. One of the reasons it is exciting.
Yeah. And but first, we need to mention an important date on the Jewish calendar that occurred this week, Thursday, actually. And it's called Tisha B'Av. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably not saying that right because I don't have the Hebrew, whatever you call that. What do you call that? The Hebrew?
The Hebrew Nefesh.
That's it. Okay. I don't have that. But that means the ninth of Av, which is the Hebrew month of Av on the ninth day. And what's interesting is that it's a distinctly tragic day in the history of the Jewish people. I'm just going to give you some examples of the things that happened, events that occurred on Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av, is that...
Tisha B'Av, is that...
What would we call that in our calendars for those of us that don't know Hebrew? Is that the... this year, what is
well,
it?
Well, it's always different, of course.
Oh, it's always
it
different.
Thursday, this past Thursday.
It was this
July,
past...
whatever that was.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, I didn't write it down. But it was on Thursday, and the Jewish people recognized that these events happened, and they actually fast that day.
Okay.
Okay, so here's some of the things that happened on the same day, anniversary day. First of all, way back when they were had just left Egypt, the sin of the spies, do you remember the spies who went in to find out if they could go into Israel?
That's right.
They came back and gave a bad report and said, oh, we can't, there's too many giants over there.
Yes, they said that was the land that the Lord had promised them, and they went to check it out, and they said, there's no way we can do this.
So how many spies said, no, we can't do it?
Was it 10?
10.
10?
I think you're right. And then there was 2 that said, oh, sure we can. Where's your faith? Joshua and Caleb. But they wouldn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, God declared a decree that the children of Israel who had just left Egypt would not be permitted to enter the land of Israel because of their lack of faith in the God that just spared them their life in Egypt, got them through the Red Sea.
Got them away from Pharaoh and his army.
Yeah, and yet they just wouldn't do it.
That happened, this event happened on this?
On the 9th of Av.
On the 9th of Av.
And that made them stay in the land of Israel. In the land before
Israel.
For 40 years.
For 40 years.
Yeah.
What a setback. And it wasn't a very good thing, was it? It was just a terrible thing to happen.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, that's what happened on that day. And then another thing happened a few years later. The very first temple that Solomon had erected was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. That happened on the 9th of Av.
Hmm.
But what's really amazing is that the second temple that they rebuilt, Herod's temple, that was also destroyed on the 9th of Av.
By the
Romans.
Romans.
Yeah. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
Yeah. And then also a few years later on the 9th of Av, Beitar, which was a fortress, was actually fell down by the Romans also in about 135. And 1 year later on the same day, 9th of Av, the temple area that was destroyed was now plowed and it was flat.
Wow.
But here's even more. On the 9th of Av in 1220 AD, King Edward I of Spain expelled all the Jews, told them to get out. Just told them to get out on the 9th of Av.
On the 9th of Av.
And of course, after that, their prosperity drastically fell.
Oh, it's Spain's prosperity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then in 1492, King Ferdinand of Spain did the same thing, issued the expulsion decree setting Tisha B'Av as the final date by which not one single Jew would be allowed to walk on Spanish soil. Is this amazing?
This is all on the
sad events. And then also World War I in 1914 was declared on the 9th of Av, which began the downward slide, of course, to the Holocaust and the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka.
That's all bad.
Things that happen on the 9th of Av. So you can see why they would take that day of mourning.
And a day of mourning and fasting. It is a sad day in the Jewish world. And,
it is.
And they remember these things.
It is. So they fast from sundown to sundown, from food and water, in mourning for mostly for the destruction
Absolutely.
Of the temples. But it is important to understand that the Jews' mourning is not just about the temples, but most profoundly about the loss of the presence of God that dwelt in these temples.
Mm-hmm.
Though we know that God is everywhere, don't we, John? Thank you. We're so happy that today we have God inside of us.
Yes,
you
yes.
Know? But of course, a lot of Jewish people, most of the Jewish people don't understand that.
Right.
You know, and so they're looking for the new temple to come. Unfortunately, this new temple is going to have the Antichrist do an abomination of desolation. So, you know, but they don't know that yet, I guess. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that point up because I realized that there's other dates, anniversary dates, that God does things or allows things to happen. And remember, God is the creator of the world, and he can say yes or no.
Well, he chose specific days to create specific things on.
Right.
He's always
bad things. He allows.
He allows, yeah. And, you know, there was something that I thought you would mention, too, that we do know that God is everywhere. And we do have God through the Holy Spirit living in our souls. But there was a dimension of his presence that was lost in the destruction of those temples that we don't have today.
Right.
I thought that was a very good thought you had. I was hoping you'd
go
there.
He was there. But there was
yes.
There in the temple.
And it's a dimension that most of us listeners probably have never experienced. So it is a loss for us, even though maybe we don't even understand fully what was lost there.
Yeah, really.
But I don't want to go down that rabbit trail too far. But
okay. Well, let's just talk about one other date, though, that came to my mind when I was preparing this the other day. And I think about the day Nisan 17. On the Jewish calendar. And that's sort of a date now that represents new life. That's a happier date.
Right, right.
That's a happier date. But the very first thing I think about, well, if I wanted to take him in order, would have been Noah's Ark landing at Mount Ararat on Nisan 17. Finally came to a stop. And, of course, that represents new life to them, didn't it?
Yes.
You know?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
After the destruction of the flood and the destruction of
all that,
yes.
Oof. And who says God doesn't judge?
Yes.
You know, people say, oh, yeah, right. What are you talking about? He destroyed the world except for 8 people. He's done it before.
It's just by his mercy. God will delay judgment.
Of course, he'll do whatever
he will delay it. He will delay judgment, and it's through his mercy that he does this so that it allows time for people to repent.
Yeah. Well, and the Bible does say that during Noah's time, everybody was unrighteous except for 8.
For 8.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That really is sad. Now, of course, Nisan 17, don't we know that by going to Shofar Ministries, the classes we have?
Certainly.
That is the date of the Feast of First Fruits, is it not?
It is. And what happened on the Feast of First
Fruits? The resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
You got it.
From the grave. And that is a definite date that we all remember.
Yeah, and it's an appointment that was fulfilled.
Yeah, we don't always think that the ark rested on that date, but it's just kind of more than coincidence that it did, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, something else really good happened to the Jews, which gave them a new lease on life, practically, if you think about it, and that's in the book of Esther.
Oh, that's right.
The wicked man Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews and almost got away with it.
That's right.
But then the lot fell, and it said he would be hung on Nisan 17.
Oh, okay. That's, see?
So he was destroyed, which gave the Jews new life. So again, this particular day is representing new life. And you know what? There's still another one.
There's still another one. Another good news date.
Another good news
These
date.
Are good news dates. This
news
is a good news date here.
And that's King Hezekiah. He was the great king, and they had a bunch of wicked ones. But King Hezekiah decided he was going to reinstitute the temple sacrifices that had been gone for so long. And, of course, that does give new life to the Jews at that time because they could cover their sins.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And so that's a good thing. So, you see, God does have things happen on certain dates.
Seems to be that way, doesn't it?
And I'm sure we could think of a lot more, but I didn't want to take that time to do that. But I'm thinking, and this is one of the reasons, knowing that God is a date setter.
Yes.
And not that I am a date setter.
Oh, we wouldn't want to go there, would we?
But it makes you think,
yes.
I wonder if maybe he'll come back for his bride on an anniversary date also.
Well, that would not be out of his character, would it?
It would not be out of his character.
There are one story I can think of in the Bible where someone goes after a bride. And it just seems, I don't know, do you have a date in mind that you might think he would do that? Or a time or a season? Or
well, if I was pushed in a corner and had to give an answer.
Because let's face it, a lot of people go, well, when do you think this is going to happen? And I think that's part of the draw that draws you into these movies like Left Behind and these books like Left Behind is,
we all want
when can this happen? We want an answer.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were pushed into a corner, what would you say? When is this rapture going to happen? When is God coming for
his
bride?
You want me to get in trouble, don't you, John?
Well, I don't think you will. Because
no, I won't. I'm just teasing
but
you. Of course, I think that I have an idea.
You have an idea.
From the studying that I've done a lot of studying, and I believe, as like Second Peter says, that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, and I believe at the end of 6,000 years, man's number is 6, that last 1,000-year period, which would be the seventh thousandth year period, and seven is the number of completion, which that's a whole other thing we can get into.
Yes.
Is the numbers. But I believe at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, I think he'll call us home.
And
now, of course, we really don't know what year that is.
Right, right.
It's impossible for us to know because only God knows when the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam is. Now, we know we're close. We know that from Jesus' time, we're about 2,000 years.
2,000.
We don't know about
nine,
the time before that. We know it's around 4,000, but I understand that the Jews actually didn't count certain years of servitude. And so we're really, you know, and God did that for a reason, of course. He doesn't want us to know exactly when it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's obvious. He even says that, you know. However, he does really push us to the idea, if you study deeply, mm-hmm. as I do, that we can know the season. We really, really can. And there's plenty of scriptures that tell us that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Now, I got a thing about this thing. We should know the time. And I always thought it's because I believe that Jesus, when in his ministry to not just the Jews, but specifically the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his time, he almost in one verse in the New Testament, he's almost like upbraiding them for not knowing the time when he would appear.
Right. You're right. And he said, because you don't know now.
Yes, because you knew not that the time of your...
And he wept over Jerusalem and things like that.
When it's very clear that in the prophets, which they had the books of the prophets, mm-hmm. and the prophets, it outlines pretty clearly when he would be there the first time, especially when Daniel was
alive. You know, all the answers are in the Bible.
So they are. The answers are there, and we can choose to seek after him. Is it wrong to seek after? Lord, I want to know how soon this is. Is that wrong?
No, know? Because he said to encourage one another as you see the day approaching.
Okay.
Hebrews, 10,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Okay. But you know what? Let's turn to 2 Peter and let's just talk about him a little bit. Because I believe Peter was getting towards the end of his time, and I believe he knew that by the way he talked. And it's almost like, I want to tell you something that I don't want you to forget.
Sort of like what your dying great-grandfather might tell you before he...
Yeah, exactly. So, let's turn to 2 Peter.
We do tend at the end of our lives to stick with the things that are important. And.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let's look at chapter 3.
Okay, 2 Peter. I'm there.
Okay. Now, if someone were to say to you, don't forget this one thing out of all the things that you could tell somebody, and you picked one particular thing, wouldn't you think it was pretty important?
Well, yes. Yeah.
I would say so. I would say so. And he's talking about, if you read it in context, about the judgment of God, by the way. And he mentions, in fact, you know what? We got time. Let's just read it quickly.
Yeah.
Chapter 3, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder. So he does encourage us to be stirred up, to look for more.
Mm-hmm.
That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And they're saying that, and I'm interjecting here, and they're saying that, and what's funny is that it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't all been going on the same way since creation. And Peter goes on to explain.
What's even funny is that they're still saying that.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And then Peter goes on to say in verse 5, for this they willfully forget or are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water by which the world that then existed perished.
Yes.
Being flooded with water. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been copacetic all the way down.
No, it hasn't. And it's by God's word.
Right.
That things
he
were,
did it.
Yes.
You know? Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Eventually, that's what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And so then he goes, now, don't forget this one thing. Now, this is what's important to me.
Yeah, this verse 8, yeah.
That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, there's a lot of teaching in that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, verse 9 says, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the goal. That's the hope.
Mm-hmm.
Although we know by Scripture, too, that the road is narrow, if you will find it.
Yes.
Hopefully, there'll be a lot of tribulation, saints, so, and that'll be great. But
let's
go back to this.
Will be.
Where it says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And I've always believed, and I've studied the writings of our first century forefathers, okay? And most that I've read have all said that 6,000 years is the time that we will be on the earth, and that the last 1,000 years, or I should say the seventh period of 1,000 years, will be the millennial kingdom that Christ rules and reigns.
Yes.
And
all
the first seven will be from heaven.
And this is from the early church.
Yes, very early church. First century. Second century. Just up until Constantine came and kind of messed everything up.
And this is not only that, this is early rabbinical
teaching as well. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so this was understood 2,000 years ago or 1,900 years ago. This was understood in the church and in Judaism that there is a pattern that is 1,000 years is equal to a day in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So I'm pretty well come to the conclusion that only God knows when the end of 6,000 years is.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it'll be exactly at the end of 6,000 years on the same day that Adam was created is the same day that he'll call man home and that next age will begin, that last seventh period of 1,000 years. And the first seven will be the tribulation period. But those that are righteous and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we'll be able to escape these things. Like he promises in Luke, you know, he says, pray that you can escape these things that are coming. And in fact, this judgment, worldwide judgment that is coming, is talked about in the Bible more than anything else I understand.
Yes. Once you understand that the day of the Lord doesn't mean Sunday, and you understand that it's actually a term for this 7-year period of judgment, unlike any other judgment that's, by the way, that's ever been on the face of the earth. Once you understand that the day of His wrath, the day of indignation, it's all talking about the same time period, which begins. The seventh. Yeah.
But here's what I wanted to make sure that we clarify the fact that this 1,000 year period is called the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The first seven is the nighttime of this day of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. And that is the tribulation period. When we come back at the end of the 7 years to set up the kingdom here on earth after it's been cleaned up, that will continue the day of the Lord. But now it will be in the sunshine. Now it'll be Jesus.
Yes.
Down here ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. And me and you are going to have our resurrected bodies as well as all the other righteous that were taken in the resurrection / rapture, depending whether you're dead or alive. Okay. And we'll come back with him. And in fact, Enoch, Jude quotes Enoch as saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That's really us.
Yes.
We're going to come back to set up his kingdom for those that have made it through the tribulation and are still alive.
And you're probably wondering, how do we get all of that out of Nisan 17 and Tisha B'Av?
We got a lot to talk about when we come
back.
But
it's good to know that the things that are going to come upon the earth are serious. So it really doesn't hurt to be serious about finding out when they're here.
Your eternity should mean a lot to you.
Yes,
let's find out the answers.
Well, listen, I want to talk a little bit about our phone lines, and we encourage you to call in with any question you might have about end time eschatology. And we'll give you the phone numbers now.
Yeah.
That's 216-901-0923. 833-216-901-0933, or you can simply call 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and your donations are really needed to help us stay on the air. And as a gift to you for donating any amount, a handmade cross will be mailed to you. It can be used. You can specify if it's for your wall or for your yard, and you can send your checks if you to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021, 44021, or you may donate through shofarministries.net and use the PayPal feature of that. And perhaps maybe you'd like to even sponsor Shofar Ministries Hour by advertising your company right here on Christian Radio. And you can reach Sheila for all the details pertaining to that by calling 440-834-9006. And now I'd like to remind you about one of our faithful sponsors, and that's Mullett Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is great and it earns them an impeccable reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but they will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're nice people to boot. Need a free estimate? Just call Chad Mullett at 216-570-0177. That's 216-570-0177. And give them a try the next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullett Masonry helps to keep this show on the air, so be sure to tell Chad when you call him. You heard about him right here on WHKW Radio. And by the way, the lines are now open for your end time questions. Okay? Now, don't go too far. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a real short break and a song from the Tally Trio. So stay with us.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saul Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-251-3226. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. Call 800-251-3226. That's 800-251-3226.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and Andy Willoughby's three-step plan has allowed me to be home with my children. I see the three-step plan being able to provide enough income for so many families that they're going to be able to keep their home, keep their second car, just being able to provide shoes and whatever else their children need. We've been waiting for 10 years to put a deck on the back of our house, and we're going to be getting that deck now. Andy Willoughby's three-step plan can make a change in your life. You can actually look out your window and be able to dream again. Not only am I going to be home with my children, but our future sees my husband being home as a full-time dad, too.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-305-5482. 800-305-5482.
Gonna worry me. speak in peace to me. No longer broken hearted, now I am not afraid. God's just getting started, I know He'll make a way.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song by the Tally Trio gives us good advice. If you go to Jesus with your troubles, you won't be worrying very long, right?
And that's the truth.
Isn't
and
that
the
is truth?
So true. You know, He takes our problems.
That's
he
right.
is the burden holder. He is
Amen.
The ox. It went to the cross.
It went to the cross.
Oh, I betcha.
Oh, I wish Ray would call us one of these days with that explanation. I love Ray Lopez's explanation about that.
Yeah, Ray's good.
Yes.
Well, you know, I want to take this moment to thank Nicole again. She's a sponsor to this show, a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who really wants to give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your skin and body and nutrition and weight control. She has the right products specially suited for your particular type of skin. And again, it's not just face makeup. It's about having healthy, glowing skin. It's always nice to see someone with her skin just glowing. And hers is. So be sure to give Nicole a call. Her number is 440-840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to earn some free products or maybe even start your own at-home business. Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. And Arbonne has a men's line, too. And I know we all can use something, even if it's just, hand cream or something. But remember, Arbonne is non-toxic, and that's really important in these infectious days. Give Nicole a call, 440-840-2176.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Now, we want to talk a little bit about the news. And every once in a while, we have a little prophecy in the news, you know, and I want to talk about it. But this is something that makes my blood boil, so I might as well just tell you right up front.
Being honest with us about that.
Yes. Well, good old the United States is giving the Palestinians over in Israel, $200 million more dollars.
Well,
they needed to pay their people, I guess.
Yes.
And that's only part of a $900 million package that Mrs. Clinton pledged to the Palestinians at that donors conference back in March.
Oh, and of course she's Secretary of State Clinton.
She is.
So yes, she can do those things.
Yes, I guess, but. You know, it's amazing to me why they keep giving money to the enemy. Oh, well, that's the way it is today. But I also wanted to point out something else.
I could use some money. what do I have to do to be an enemy? Maybe I'll get some money. Help me pay my mortgage on your enemy.
Pay this radio station.
Yeah, I'm starting to catch on how this works now.
Oh, isn't it something? Well, anyway, we know following the Lord is the best way.
Yes.
We're storing our treasures in heaven, John.
That's right.
And we're getting bunches, aren't we?
That's right. And it doesn't rust up there, and it doesn't get dusty, and there's nobody there to steal it.
That's right. Amen.
How about that?
Do you remember me a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago where I talked about how Netanyahu put his foot down? He says, we are not going to compromise on giving any of Jerusalem away. And he says, there's
yeah.
no way possible.
And I was saying, right on. Go, Netanyahu.
Maybe he was setting a stage to because he knew he was going to have to compromise on a hardline position.
No.
Well, unfortunately, this week I understand that he's giving in a little bit.
Oh.
He actually put a halt to the construction of 900 new apartments in the Eastern Jerusalem Jewish neighborhood of Pisgat Zeev following his meeting with George Mishal, who came from the United States.
Hmm.
And what we're thinking and what the undertone is here, without me having to read it all and be boring for everybody, the main thing is that he's more concerned that Netanyahu is Iran getting nuclear weapons. And what we're thinking is that by compromising a little bit on the land part,
mm-hmm.
that he can get the United States to help him more with, you know, making sure that Iran doesn't get the nuclear weapons.
Obviously.
So
there's a lot of
thinking.
Politicking being played.
You know, and you might think, well, he should care more about the land, that God gave him the land, trust in the Lord. However, he feels, I'm sure, that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, there will be no Israel at all. And again, that's that, mm-hmm. you know, they're not trusting in God the way they should.
I know.
And I mean, that's just the way it is.
And he's walking a fine line there. I think Mr. Netanyahu is walking a fine line.
As much as I like him.
Yes.
He's better than all.
Yes.
But still, prophecy has to be fulfilled. All nations will come against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So.
It's another piece of that puzzle of prophecy just falling into place in front of our eyes on the national, international scene.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we've been talking about that on the show now. We've been on about 3 months.
Yes.
And we've covered a lot of that.
And yeah.
We'll cover some more. But if you've missed some of the past shows, maybe you're new to listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, you can certainly go to my webpage. And all the radio shows are archived at shofarministries.net.
In their entirety.
Yes, and you just click on the one you want, and there you go.
And there you go. It's that big rewind that we all need sometimes because life goes by a little too fast.
Sure, and it really is nice to, even if you listen to them again, if you've heard the show, because you can pause it then, chew on it, look up the scriptures, see what I'm telling you is true, and, you know.
Yes, and you know, a lot of times human nature takes over when you've heard something like this for the first time, and you get either scared, real scared, or you get real excited.
Yeah, or you never listen
again
because you don't like to hear it.
Or you don't want to hear it, and you take a run. But go back, listen carefully.
Yeah, find
you know
the
what
truth.
Was find the truth. Yeah,
that's it. That's all I want.
You'll get peace from that because you know the don't be fearful either because the Bible says that he who fears is not made been made perfect in love.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, I think it's time, since we've been covering rapture scriptures, and I've kind of let this one go because it is a little deeper, but it's one of the most exciting ones, actually, and it's in John 11, so I think we need to turn to our Bibles.
Is this the one where we've read it 1,000 times but never saw this?
It is, John.
Is that the one? That
honestly,
one really floored me when I...
I only saw it maybe a couple years ago, and I had read it many, many times. But this is part of studying and looking at it more closely.
Right.
Also, the interlinear is a wonderful Bible in the fact that it actually has the Hebrew and the Greek written out on top of the English translation. So it, although sometimes the verbs are in front of the nouns.
Nouns,
the end,
yeah.
You know,
it doesn't all work like English, right. Yes.
But you get used to that. But the main thing is that the words are more correct, I should say. And that's where I really saw this. But in John 11, we have the story of Martha just losing her brother Lazarus. Remember that story,
yes.
John?
Yes.
Okay, let me just turn to it.
That's
and
when...
Verse 24.
They all thought, well, you're waiting too long. And his sister, if you'd come sooner, you wouldn't have to do a funeral today. You could have done a...
Yeah,
whatever.
But in verse 23, he said to her, your brother will rise again. And, of course, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There's that little term there.
Yes.
And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So, though he may die physically, he still shall live. And
we
all know that. We
know that.
I mean,
we know that when we die, we're not gone forever dead. So.
But why did he repeat himself? This is where for the longest time I just thought, okay, he just repeated himself. Because verse 26 says...
Because Martha wasn't maybe hard of hearing, you think?
No,
that wasn't the reason.
I think there's a deeper reason here.
Okay.
But he goes on and says, and again, if you're just a casual reader, you'll miss it. But he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So I'm thinking, okay, it's not quite the same. What is he saying here? And I looked at it and looked at it, and finally it came to me. He says, and whoever is living at the time of the resurrection, hello, and believes in me, because that's the requirement, shall never die at all. That means physical death.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he's even, because it's so remarkable, he says to Martha, do you believe that?
And if he would have been, if that was in the 60s, he could have said, can you dig this?
Yeah, right. So then I thought, you know, this would be one of those good verses to look up in the intermediary and see how exactly it reads in there. So I certainly did that.
And what happened when you did that?
And it says, this is exactly what it says. Martha to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one believing in me, though he die, he shall live. That's easy. That's what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes on and it says, and everyone living and believing in me in no way shall die forever. Do you believe this? That just confirmed it.
Yes.
You know, so here's what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection, okay, and he is that resurrection. And if we believe in him, we'll never really die. Oh, we might die physically with our bodies, but spiritually we'll live forever. That's total sense. And then he's going on to say, though, but if you happen to be alive at the time of the resurrection, it's not like he's just going to kill us all first and then take us up.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the sense in that?
Right.
So he's saying, if you happen to be alive at the time of the resurrection, then you're going to go too if you believe in me.
Yes.
And that is describing what we term now as the rapture. Now, I don't have to call it the rapture.
No.
You know, people keep saying, well, the rapture's not even in the Bible. I don't care what word you use.
Yes. And of course...
Catching away.
Catching away.
Bringing up. Yes. I don't care.
Yes.
You know, don't get all, you know, people say, well, how did you say there's a rapture's not even in there? And I go, well, it's honey, the word resurrection's not even in the Old Testament anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's described.
It's the holy exit.
Yes,
and,
there you go.
That's exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking about the final resurrection, because if you've hung around with our, you know, with Shofar Ministries for a while, you know that there are more than one resurrection.
Well, of course.
And you guys don't get that confused with the other one. This is
the righteous resurrection.
This is the
Jesus
day.
Jesus was the first fruit.
When does this, in the last day. This is the resurrection. And
day.
It doesn't say after the last day. It says in.
The last
the
day.
Last
7,000 period.
Period.
On day number one.
Uno.
So
yes.
I thought that was the gold nugget, and when I first saw that, I just really got so excited, because again, that just was adding to all my rapture scriptures.
Yes.
Terminology is rapture, and that's just what people are calling it. So therefore.
And that's a great one. And the thing is too, just remember when you're studying like this, you know, the Holy Spirit's gonna lead you, and you're going to see if you're diligent to study. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you, and God will show you things like that
exactly.
He hasn't shown Sheila or myself.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. This is the kind of thing that he likes to do, but if you're not going to spend time in it, you're not going to see him.
You're not going to see that. If you do have any questions, I just want to remind you that phone number is 888, that's 888-677-WORD. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go on and talk a little bit now about... the Jewish betrothal custom.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a few minutes left, and this is pretty good stuff here. But to fulfill the honeymoon requirement of a shabuwa, and of course, John, you know what shabuwa means.
It's a period of seven.
That's right.
Yes. It could be 7 years or 7 days.
Yes, it had to be seven.
Had to be seven.
Was there a particular reason why do you think it had to be seven?
Because it, well, we said before, seven is a number of completeness.
It really, really is. And
yes.
That's why it's going to be 7,000 years and then eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
The honeymoon had to be a period of seven.
Yes.
So it was always usually 7 days, but it could have been 7 weeks or 7 months, the honeymoon. If
yes.
you had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. If you had a lot of money,
yeah,
sure.
Usually.
7 months, why not?
But it always had to be seven. Couldn't be three and a half.
Right.
Couldn't it be, could not be four.
Mm-hmm.
Could not be pre-wrath or mid-trib.
Yeah. I was wondering where you're going.
It had to fulfill the Jewish custom, the betrothal custom, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God organized detailed wedding requirements with particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us huge clues about how it would be with us. For an example, there's three ways for a Jewish wedding to be arranged. The parents, or I should say the father, from maybe even when the child was born, could say, okay, this is who my son is going to marry. It could
yes.
be established that far back. Then there was the person himself, the son himself. He could say, oh, I took a fancy to so-and-so's cousin down the road or whatever, or daughter, and
yes.
I've taken a fancy, you know, and it could be arranged that way. Or they could even have what we call an agent or another person that would go and find a bride, as in the case of Isaac sending his closest servant to find a bride for his son.
What about Yenta? Doesn't she find
and
you?
And that's a word that they use today.
Well, that doesn't she find you the...
An agent.
Yeah, to get an agent. Go between.
What is it? What's the... oh, I just lost it. You can go on the internet now.
Yeah, and that's an agent.
Match.com?
Match.com or something like that.
But what's interesting, though, is that whoever arranged it, whether it be the father or the son himself or an agent, it was always her choice as to whether she would go along with the program.
Oh, yes.
And that's not always the case in some of those different denominations.
In arranged marriages now, does the woman, does the girl have a choice too, even though it's arranged?
Not always.
No. Okay.
But in this case it is. And of course now let's look at how we see it matching.
Okay.
Because as far as Jesus goes, okay, he is our betrothed bridegroom right now.
Right.
We're waiting for his return. But it's always been our choice to whether we want to choose him or not.
That's true.
And I think that's that's the typology that we need to...
Well, who's our agent?
Well, that would have been the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And the Holy Spirit.
And the Son himself when he came
and
down
and the
died.
Scriptures. The Scriptures.
And also the Father from the beginning of
yes.
time said
mm-hmm.
that his Son would marry the bride.
Uh-huh.
So we have all these things that really do match. And the thing about it is, as soon as she would say yes, she would drink the wine. Okay, and that's our communion.
Mm-hmm.
So we drink the wine, and,
yes.
and that says that we are betrothed to him. And that was the same thing
Beautiful.
She would do. She would drink the wine, and then she would be given her contract, and that would include the bridegroom's responsibilities and also what would be required of her. And she would study that, and that was called her ketubah.
Okay.
Now, today, what includes God's promises and our responsibilities and vice versa?
That would be maybe this book that's right here on the table in front of me.
That's right.
That's the Bible.
That's right.
Our ketubah.
So this is our ketubah, our contract. And then, of course, we are set aside, and she was set aside. And every time she went out in public, she would actually have a veil on her.
Mm-hmm.
She would be sanctified for him only.
Okay.
And, of course, that's the same for us. We are set aside, sanctified for Jesus only. And here's the other thing that's interesting is that this betrothal would be legally binding. Okay,
yes.
And if they wanted to get out of this betrothal, they would have to get what they would call a get, like a divorce. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't impossible to sever the betrothal. It was not impossible.
Hmm.
So you can walk away from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Every day, it's a daily choice to
daily
stay betrothed to him.
Yes.
And I think we need to keep that in mind. You can't just think just because as a child you said, oh, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that, you know, it's not a daily walk.
Right.
It truly is. Also, then he would go to the father's house and prepare a place for her. And, of course, that's the same kind of language that Jesus used in the Bible. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
He was using the wedding terminology. Now, she wouldn't be sure of the day or the hour of when he would return. There would always be that element of surprise. But the friends of Jesus, the friends of the bridegroom would give her clues as to when he would return. So she had a good idea, like they would come and say, well, the roof was just put on, now the window was in. And
no, like they talked to the bridegroom's sister and said, did you see anything happening on the back of that house there? You know, were they building, doing any, did they order any lumber from?
That's right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And, of course, who are our friends today? Well, it's the writers of the Bible.
Oh.
That's our friends. So we can look at our Bible, we can read it. We can understand the times and the signs and to look for these signs of completion to know when he's coming. And we're seeing the signs that he said we would see.
So who's going to tell us? The friends of the bridegroom.
That's right.
And the friends of the bridegroom, didn't Jesus even say he called his disciples that became the apostles that we call, and some of them authored the Gospels, that you are my friends.
That's right. And also, who did appeared with him at the Mount of Transfiguration?
That was Moses. And Elijah.
Mm-hmm. And they're authors of the Old Testament.
So we have both.
Elijah's called the prophet of prophets, which means that, you know, he's kind of the father of all the prophets that wrote the Bible.
So now we have the friends from the Old Testament and also the friends from the New Testament and the friends from the prophets. That's Moses,
right.
Elijah, and the 12.
That's right. So, wow, that's a lot to cover. But also in Revelation 19:7, when Jesus comes back, we are with him and we're called his wife. And that's something that means a lot. Some marriage happened while we were up there.
Absolutely. If we left as a bride.
That's right.
And we come back as a wife.
Wow.
Amen.
Well.
All right. Well, I can't believe the time's gone by so fast, as I always say every week.
It does.
But it has.
It has. And we don't waste a lot of unnecessary words either. So if you are left hanging out there with a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or a home, or you have a home group even, that you would like her to speak at, just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. And this is, I want to remind you, a listener-supported radio broadcast. So if this show is a blessing to you, if you're learning stuff, then your help is really needed to keep this show on the air. And any and all donations are extremely important.
Yes,
and,
they are.
Yes, and vital to our Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations will put you on the monthly newsletter automatically. Okay.
How about blessing?
How about a blessing? And we're going to leave you all with the Aaronic blessing as we lift our hands here in the studio. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.